It's the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses. This is the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses.
Stay in your lane. You. Keep doing you.
Keep pumping your chest up, bro.
Puffing my chest?
Yeah.
You stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. Stay in your lane.
You try to be a big dog again. It's just.
I'm not trying to be a big dog.
Listen,
you weren't there when he and I talked last night.
I know.
And guess who's trying to be a big dog? That guy.
This is Game of Roses. I'm Lizzie Pace.
I'm Bachelor Clues. And we're going to break down for you all the best and worst plays of the week. In this season of The Bachelor, we're down to the final six now, right?
Top 10. Guys have made it to the road game.
We saw Jed put on a master performance tonight.
Jed has managed to perform a full concert.
And then in the end, the post-credit sequence, he gets another song with the guys that he makes up impromptu on the spot.
This song is about Riga. Mm. And you know what? This was a pro move on Jed's part because he is being the storyteller. We're in Riga. Here's some exposition, but
he's,
in a fun, cutesy
way. He's essentially doing an innocuous commercial for the show itself. He's giving you a little funny summary. Always try to create those moments if you can because they'll always be used.
I would say for me, a rising star this episode was Garrett. I thought
I thought
Golf Garrett had some really powerful moves. Pilot Peter.
Pilot Peter, a masterful
Pilot
play.
Pilot Peter, also a rising star
yes,
in this pack.
For me, came out of nowhere. Pilot Peter had been kind of bland. He wasn't giving me any highlight performances up until this point. But now, with this one move where he at once erected a wall and then destroyed it before her very eyes, presented a problem and solved it simultaneously, he gives her the roller coaster of emotions necessary to get that rose.
Your walls are a very important part of your toolbox as a Bachelor player. You want to set up your walls in order to show the Bachelorette that you are a prize worth winning.
He showed vulnerability for a split second, and then he corrected immediately. Masterful. Masterful play, Peter
you
the pilot.
You helped me get over these walls.
And then they made out in the sauna for 4 hours.
A couple of naked Latvians jump out of a tram. And in that second, Hama realizes that although she was told she's going to be bungee jumping on the stage, she's going to have to do it naked.
Usually, the bachelor or bachelorette is aware of exactly what's going to happen on the date. The person on the date is the one surprised. In this case, Hannah is also surprised. She's at least playing it like she didn't know that it was going to be naked bungee jumping. So now we've entered a new fundamental kind of piece of the game, which is the producers can surprise the bachelor or bachelorette on those dates so that both of them can be in the same kind of psychological situation. And I think that actually was one of the most real moments that the show has ever had when they were up there about to fucking jump out together because she was just as scared as he was. And not in a way that she had had a week or two to prepare for it psychologically. She was surprised by it just like he was as well.
Hannah does a primal scream.
A lot of screaming in this season. Just aggressive screaming. The rugby games. When Luke emerged from the fucking limo on night one, do you remember this? This motherfucker crawled through the sunroof and got on all fours on top of the fucking limousine and growled like a fucking hyena or something. And she gave this guy the first fucking impression, Rose. Does that make any kind of sense to you in any fucking world? That's why I have a theory. I'm just going to say it. He was fucking cast from day one to be this. And that's also why he's made it this far. She clearly doesn't like him. But not only is he gaslighting her, we've seen scenes that they've shown us in which Lord Harrison also gaslights her to keep him around.
I do think he's gaslighting her. And I do think Lord Harrison was gaslighting her to keep him around. But I do think she actually is into him. There's no way a person would have that much patience. I don't believe she's like that good an actor. There's no floaters left, are there?
No, the last two floaters were eliminated tonight, unfortunately. We're talking about
Dustin
Dylan
and
Dustin.
Dylan.
They played well. Hats off to you boys.
Later that night at drinks, Golf Garrett plays his personal tragedy card.
And what was that?
And
was
what
that,
is that
that he used to like football, but now he likes golf?
The first one he tried to play was, I'm scared of heights. I've never been on a roller coaster. He overcame so much.
He really did. To go from one sport to another like that? But he got the rose, right?
He gets the rose.
Yeah.
Garrett feels like home to Hannah. He's got those khakis, white,
what is his job?
Brown hair, golfer.
No way. Yeah. Wait a minute. That golf shit was talking about he was going to play pro golf. Football? Oh my God.
No, I don't know if he's going to play pro football, but he was a... It says professional golfer. I don't know if he's...
He's probably like a golf pro at a country club or something.
Garrett goes back to the hotel. He tells the guys about his date. Steroids, Luke, not cool with it.
At first, when he tells him the thing, Luke doesn't fucking believe that it's true. Luke lies so much that the man assumes other people just fabricate events. Easily verifiable events.
That's right. He says, who would want to go bungee jumping naked with that guy?
Yeah.
It's so funny.
I mean, Jesus Christ. So he literally thinks he just made this shit up.
Then they go on a group date. This is where it's confirmed for Luke that Garrett wasn't lying.
Yeah.
And said that they went naked bungee jumping. A fact he would find out like 10 minutes later. Then his confessional. I'm shocked. Just the sheer fact. I mean, this is a woman that I want to spend the rest of my life with. I totally thought that was crossing the line. Like, her body is her temple. To expose it to anyone who isn't her husband. This, I see where you're coming from when you're saying that I feel like he's a paid character. Because that part to me, I was like, he exactly. just told us he slept with hundreds of women. Now we go to group date drinks. Tyler. Direct quote that's in the show. You looked heaven sent. You looked like an angel. I pray to God that you're my angel. Where did this fighter come from? Because I adore it. Have you ever said that to someone on a date?
Yes. I say it on every second one-on-one date I get. I mean, no. No one's ever said any of this shit to anyone. It's crazy. But also, like, these guys are fucking cooped up in that house all day. All they're doing is thinking about exactly what they're going to say when they see her. They have that shit written out in their heads.
Yeah.
So, and that's the shit that comes out. Yeah,
Jed had written a song that he now plays for Hannah in this group.
Exactly.
Oh, he's literally spending all of his free time doing that shit.
Yeah.
And then, to entertain us.
Yes.
Hannah and Shower Jesus. He confronts her. There's definitely a big thing I want to share with you. You're not going to like this. He also says, even if you make a boneheaded mistake and do something completely out of your character, yeah. I'm here for you.
Have you ever had anybody say you made a boneheaded mistake?
I mean, I don't think I've ever heard the word boneheaded before. Like, that sounds like some, like a childish adjective or something.
And then it's like, at this point, you have to ask yourself, one simple question. This man obviously is like lying to her. Everyone knows that in the place except for Hannah. The producers of the show know this.
Yeah.
If the show truly was looking out for her best interests, they would step in and just show her the footage and be like, here's what he actually said and how he said it. They would just do that. They don't even have to say he's a bad guy, get him out of here. They would just be like, full transparency, you need to know what is going on here. If you really want to, like, answer this question for yourself, we think this footage will help. That's all. They don't fucking do that ever. In fact, quite the opposite. They send in the Dark Lord Harrison to fucking openly lie to her. That is the show we are watching. So anyway, what happens next? Oh my God. It's got us. It's got us. We can't escape it. Fuck.
All right. So,
I hate it.
After that, we don't get to see Hannah's reaction to Shower Jesus asking her about this. She gives the group date rose to Tyler.
Yes.
Then, Pilot Pete has his one-on-one sauna date. Pete presses her chest down onto the sauna and starts making out with her, and then they do a zoom-in shot on his hand going up her whole body.
Yes, the choreographed hand.
The choreographed hand. That was so creepy. In the wet dry hump.
Yeah, they're in there dry humping, and then that shot, it's tight enough on his hand, and it follows his hand up the curve of her body that it had to have been choreographed. So they had to go in there and say, hey, can you, on when we say action, you fucking move your hand up her body, and we'll get this shot.
Actually, the date gets less sexy as it goes. Then they go in a cold pool mm-hmm. that's outside. she tells him she's crazy. You have to know I'm actually crazy. And he's like, crazy keeps it fun.
That's why I love when those people say, oh, I like a little bit of crazy. Oh, God.
We get a brief intermission of a creepy commercial with Nick Viall and
Eric Bigger. Nick Viall is really, he's got a burgeoning career as kind of like, he's the flow of The Bachelor. He's just like the spokesperson in all their commercials. He was in that Halo Top ice cream commercial. Now he's in this commercial for a movie.
Next. Do you think it's to trick you to watch the commercials? They're like, are you in The Bachelor? Or
yes.
Are
you? Because Nick Viall is, as we know, Nick Viall is the Babe Ruth of The Bachelor. Nick Viall
Nick Viall set a record for all-time screen time.
Yeah, absolutely. He made it to the second place runner-up on not one but two back-to-back seasons of Bachelorette, the second of which he just crashed, just showed up in the third week and was like, I'm in the competition now, gentlemen.
Showed up, said I'm in the competition, and then fucked her.
That's correct.
Before Fantasy Suites, which had never happened
on
the show
before. To me, that is the finest performance. He didn't win that season, but some would argue he won the crown eventually. He had to do a little bit of penance in Bachelor in Paradise. Paradise really is kind of like a second chance. It's like, maybe you could cobble something together out of this and have a million followers still.
Cobble something
together. You know?
The cobbler, Nick Viall.
Nick Viall is the cobbler. He really did it. That motherfucker turned a Bachelor in Paradise appearance into The Bachelor.
That's what I'm saying. That had never been done too. And I'm saying now Bachelor in Paradise is an audition for it.
And Nick Viall is now eating the scraps at the table. He's getting his commercial, his Halo Top commercial, which airs only during The Bachelor, has one airing. A lot of people see it, obviously, but it's a one specialized commercial. Now he just does another one with Eric Bigger. He's kind of like the king of this smaller industry within the Bachelor media industry that are these weird pieces of peripheral media that are made like for it, you know?
And the commercials are sort of making fun of him.
Yeah.
And like giving him the whole identity of like this loser who never can find love.
Exactly. All of it. They're just reinforcing it. He's having to play that guy again and again and again. And it's the only way he can stay relevant in the Bachelor world is to just show up and make fun of himself now. How the mighty have fallen. I mean, this guy was a king. And this is how we treat him. We reduce him to Halo Top and Annabelle fucking commercials.
With a fucking floater. I'm just kidding. Eric went to hometowns. It should be corrected for the record.
Yeah. See, so at some point people will look back on this because this was the era before it was known as like sport that everyone watches. And it'll be like, there'll be a switch, I think, that flips with this show where it will either fucking go the way of the dodo. People will like realize this is terrible. We have to stop watching this. Or it will actually become a sport and it will just eat up more and more of an audience.
Love Island is starting on CBS, which is 5 nights a week.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I think it's going in the other direction.
That's intense. Damn.
Later it drinks with the pilot P.
5 nights a week. How could you ever do that? Why did you tell me this? I'm going to go down the home dead.
You have to watch the British Love Island before you can watch the American one. The British one is so good.
I'm not doing it. We're doing a fucking podcast about this now, okay? This is enough. I can't do another one.
Back to the show. I am grabbing the microphone away from Chad.
Oh, my God. Sorry.
Back, Pilot Pete.
Sorry, what happened next?
Brings out his lines that he had been preparing all week to hit. Hannah Ed says, I love that firecracker. I draw my strength from what I do. You can't fail. You have lives in your hands. Next up, someone goes on a knock knock and it starts with a song. There's a clue.
Yeah, that is a clue.
It's Jed.
The song guy, the music man.
It's aspiring musician Jed.
Fucking music man's and they're like, well, it's time to shine. Actually, fucking every time.
It's not a new song, actually. He plays the song that he wrote in the Mr. Right competition.
There was only one scene that featured this man. There were four scenes, I believe, in this episode that featured this man. So he did very good with screen time. One of them was post-credits, but still counts. It's part of what is shown, what people are watching. Nobody doesn't watch that.
You're watching it because you're trying to figure out how to pause and not watch fucking Grand Hotel. Wait, you're saying Jed had a lot of screen time.
Oh, yeah. Jed had a lot of screen time.
Yeah.
And I think in all appearances, except one in the middle where he was like telling Luke to bring it down a little because she might be in the other room and we'll hear. Other than that one thing, every other time he's doing a song.
He's like a musical and he only expresses himself through music.
He totally fucking monopolized this episode as his own little concert.
So he does the knock knock. He plays a song outside and he's like, hey, can I go inside? And mm-hmm. then they're on the bed. He's playing another fucking song. And the song on the bed, they don't edit down at all. We just hear the whole fucking song. So Jed is on his knock knock. He tells Hannah, can I tell you something? He whispers it because this is dramatic if they have to subtitle it. I really and truly mean this. I really am falling in love with you. I'm thankful for you.
Okay, so we're in the falling in love stage. Got to do it at this point, you know. As you're leading into hometowns, you have to start saying it because generally at hometowns, you have to say I love you.
Someone said I like you, and I feel like she took it exactly the same way as falling.
Yes. Like, falling, starting to fall. These are all the first phase of the love affirmation. It's basically like stage one is, wow, I didn't think connections could form this fast. This is real for me. Stage two is, I'm starting to fall in love with you. Stage three is, I'm falling in love with you or falling for you. And the final stage is, I'm in love with you.
I love you.
Or I love you.
Do they say I love you?
Yeah, I love you or I'm in love with you, I think. And so he's escalated his. He's now in the I'm falling in love with you. He's in phase two. He's moving right along.
All right, back to the group. Mm-hmm. Golf Garrett and Luke get into it. Well, Garrett has a rose this time, so he's poking at Luke a little bit more.
Yeah.
And Luke is exploding.
He is, but he always buys it back. Strangely, in this episode, he did that. I think the producers are totally manufacturing his presence there through manipulating her and the fact that they know they need him to have, like, having a villain this late in the game is titillating, you know? They can show, like, fights all the time, every episode.
Yeah, you want to see when he goes home.
Yeah, but it's
that's, like, clearly your main motivation at this point.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's more exciting than her being like, oh, I love one of these white guys with brown hair.
Jesus fucking Christ.
So now Hannah comes to the room. This is confusing. She pulls steroids Luke. She's like, you're not my husband. You don't know my body. You don't know me. It's my butt.
But he again, like, gets out of it. I just can't believe it's real. I can't believe any portion of that is real. I think she's acting as well. I truly do. It seems crazy at this point, doesn't it?
I've seen people get tricked by, like, bad people before.
He fucking does it. He gets over the hump. He gaslights her successfully.
He says that she's twisting his words and I was totally misunderstood. That's what he keeps saying.
I remember he apologized to her once and he was like, look,
I'm sorry, I was misunderstood.
Yeah, exactly.
But I didn't question your character.
All right, so Luke masterfully plays it though. I mean, let's be honest. As far as villains go, as far as sociopaths go, done well. Whatever the case, whether this is orchestrated by the producers.
I think he's made it faster than Mad Chad, or I think he's made it longer than Chad.
Yes, he certainly has. Chad unfortunately fell victim to the not working with the show, whereas I think this guy is not. This guy is working with the producers. He does anything they ask. I think he's like so subservient to them that they keep him around. But Chad was like, the game, this is a game, this is shitty.
I think they're giving him language to say too.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, it's possible. They literally are like plant fucking dripping honey into her ear, you know, where he's like, go back in there. They'll love you. They're not fighting because they're crazy.
Your impression of Lord Harrison when he's gaslighting is so fucking creepy.
It is creepy. We watched it fucking happen. He hugged her for like 30 fucking minutes just sniffing on her and like, they all love you.
Meanwhile, the official Bachelor Twitter is tweeting out shit like, oh, there's a Luke Lear explosion tonight.
Exactly. Like, and making up like Luke Ness monster.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, what they have done is invited a man who is, I mean, at the very least has some aggression problems to be in a situation that will obviously not make him happy. They've done that. and said, let's watch what's going to happen. And it's all under the guise of like...
They literally had Garrett go on the one-on-one right after he had an altercation with Luke.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, this will piss him off.
They've done away with two-on-ones. They didn't have one last season.
The nude one-on-one. That's what they did. They made... Oh, they made Garrett go on the nude one-on-one right after he had an altercation with Luke.
And then also the very next day is Peter. They're in a fucking sauna, half naked, whatever. I think they meant that to stir it up even further. Because Hannah really does seem to be like surprised. She's like, I got us a day at a spa. Like, that's probably all it is. Like, you want to do a spa day? Sure. Then they're like on the phone scrambling, find a spa where they make them fuck, you know? Just in the hopes that he would go back to the fucking house and be like, so on my date, we got nude body to body mud massages or whatever, you know? And then he'd blow his fucking stack. I think they were trying to do that.
I feel like they've been trying to set those types of situations up. I feel like they've been setting up Garrett and Luke.
They have set up rivalries for sure.
So now we get to my favorite part of the episode.
Yes.
The Lanes and the dogs explosion. Mike.
Or like Ari.
You were driving your lane, but you were looking out the window. Oh, you heard my analogy? Don't text and drive, someone said. Jed, if you fuck up another cocktail thing, I'm going to be really fucking pissed. Meanwhile, he hasn't told any of them that he did a knock-knock last night, and it's not like it's going to be his only chance to talk to her.
Oh, of course.
Lord Harrison comes in. She's a little emotional. There's not going to be a cocktail party tonight.
Going straight to Rose.
Straight to Rose. And then we got all the guys going, three to row, Luke. Someone is walking out the door, and they yell, Trace. Luke holds. I was like, this isn't me. Now Hannah thinks her husband's really in this room, even though we spent a whole last episode being like, is she gonna quit? We're gonna show you a bunch of clips.
Yeah, it was only 1 week ago that she had to have two fucking gaslighting sessions with Lord Harrison to even be convinced to come back to do the show at all. But now her husband's in that fucking room. They got her good.
I ask Bachelor Clues at this point, are Jed's eyes going in different directions? And he says, yeah, one's on her and one's on his Instagram number. Excellent line.
Thanks.
We got roses for aspiring musician Jed, Mike, Connor, and Luke. And then Double D's are gone. Dustin and Dylan.
Yep. Yeah, we discussed them. They were good floaters. Good floaters, boys. Good floaters. See you in paradise,
solid
probably.
Work. Yeah.
You'll have your time to shine. Make sure you come in well-equipped. Have a catchphrase. Have somebody you're going to have a rivalry with. Make a deal with one of the girls you know is going to be on it already on Instagram.
Absolutely make a deal before.
Definitely make a deal when you're
Everyone
on VIP
else is.
From day one. It gets you screen time and you can ascend, like Jaden Tanner did, to Bachelor Royalty.
We got a great summary at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Lord Harrison asks Hannah, what do you like about him? Hannah, I'm either falling in love with Luke or Luke is making me go crazy.
She doesn't know if she's crazy now. I mean, what? They've done something to her. She didn't come in starting out saying like, hey guys, I don't know if I'm crazy or not. She was like, I'm ready to do this. This is going to be fun. Now, 6 short weeks later, she questions her own sanity. Is it all worth it? Probably. 1.1 million. I'd go crazy for that. Oh, when she gives Luke his rose, she says, there is goodness inside of you. I can see goodness in you. Like he's fucking Darth Vader. I mean, what the fuck? Terrifying in my opinion, but you know, to each their own. We've done it, I think.
Week 6 of The Bachelorette. We'll see you guys here next week.
That's right. Signing off for now from Game of Roses. This is Bachelor Clues and
Lizzie Pace.
Saying
praise be Lord Harrison.